Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, I'm so excited for our conversation today.
Never mind. Because you're only excited because this is about a movie.
It is about a movie. And when so today...
I'm fascinated by this interest you have in movies.
I love movies.
It's one of the first things I learned about you. Yeah. It surprised me.
Well, I saw a long time ago a movie, I think I mentioned it to you before, the movie Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And Steve Martin has a part in it where he's, I think, a movie director, a movie producer. I've been looking for the clip where he actually says it. But he's talking with somebody, and he makes the statement, all of life's questions are answered in the movies. And I have sort of
held on to
that.
You're a believer in that, aren't you?
I do believe that, because movies, you know, we've done this 13 Reasons Why. We've been doing that series. And, you know, I really believe that movies and books and things like that are fantastic forms of media that allows us to explore things that we couldn't otherwise explore, that we could sort of, that can depict things that we can't otherwise sort of imagine and think about. So
yeah,
I love it. And as technology gets better and better and movies get better and better at being able to demonstrate things, I just can't contain myself sometimes. It's so good.
Yeah, we I'm sure they shape our behavior.
Sure.
How we express certain things.
Right.
There was a story long ago, Clark Gable, big movie idol, took his shirt off in some movie, and he had a t-shirt on underneath it. Mm-hmm. And the next Monday, department stores in New York were selling out of that t-shirt.
Right. You know?
So we learn how to select clothing and facial expressions and lines. Mm-hmm. You know, here's looking at you, kid. You know, we use these lines that we see in movies. So they are, they do inform.
They're a way that they provide a common language.
Right.
They provide an example of different things. We talked a couple of weeks ago when we did the week on autism. We talked about, you know, the documentary about the boy who had autism and his dad learned to communicate with him through Disney movies.
So I
think that that's very, very true.
A common language. That's true, because the Star Wars characters, I'm sure, or Harry Potter, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you're acting like Malfoy. It gives us a common reference, you know, that's easy to access and easy to explain, understand.
And so you can understand what somebody means when they say you're acting like Malfoy. It's like, okay, so now I have an image of what that looks like.
That's
and so now it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, it's better than books, because certainly a lot of kids won't read the same books that adults read, but it has that visual example of it. So it's very nice.
And the other thing I like about movies is you can watch them with your children or with your partner or with anybody.
Right.
It can be a shared experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about the movie Inside Out, which is it's just such a great movie. It came out in 2015, I think it was. 2015, yeah. And it's a Disney Pixar movie.
Right.
So it was an animated movie, and I'm guessing that most of our listeners and viewers have seen the movie before, because it was pretty popular. But if you haven't, there spoilers, because there are some things that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some specific things about the movie in this podcast, just because it's relevant.
But we'll try not to give it away.
Oh, we'll give it away.
Okay.
We'll try not to, but we
I have know. To say, though, I'm glad you made me watch this.
Yeah.
Let me explain what that means. You made me watch it.
Yes.
You know, we decided to venture into the world of movies and its relationship to the work we do.
Right.
And I had never seen this movie.
Right.
But I remember, it came out in 2015, and I can remember my students talking about this movie.
Right.
And I don't know why I didn't watch it, because they kept saying there's all these psychological principles involved. And I said, how can a cartoon from Disney do this?
Right.
But I never then I forgot about it,
right?
Because it was several years ago. So it comes up again. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I had the opportunity to watch it. It is fascinating.
Yeah. And how bad do you want to watch it again?
I'm going to watch it at least once, but probably twice.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's it's so fast that I knew that I was missing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those movies that you have to watch two or three times.
Yeah. The movie does a great job of going through a variety of really important psychological principles.
It does.
Whether it's the discussion about core memories, or the way memories are stored, you know, when we sleep, the whole area of abstraction.
Right.
That was really cool because it was kind of going through, oh, we're in this stage now. We're in two-dimensional.
I was, you know how when you first start watching a movie, you're sort of not fully engaged?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she said core memories, I said, core memories? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Then I got, you know, really ensnared in this thing.
Right.
She said core memories. And I just sat up and started really, really watching it after
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what was really cool, and this kind of gets right into it, kind of jumping right into it. The movie opens with her birth.
Right.
And as soon as she opens her eyes, you know, see the main character, the main emotion coming out, and it was joy. And she comes out and she's seeing what's happening. She's trying to figure out what's happening. And you can see sort of up on the screen,
right,
the baby's eyes open.
Yeah, her eyes.
And sees her parents. And there is a, it makes a memory of that. Mm-hmm. And there is no identification of what that memory is.
Right.
But that's where you start getting that attachment and bond.
Attachment and bonding.
It's from the very beginning. It's mm-hmm. right then. And you can see the very first memory that the baby has is that image of the parents. And not that the baby will ever remember that that image, but it's there. And that sort of sets the stage for those emotions. And imagine, you know, it just so happened that that first experience was a happy experience. You know, you can imagine if it's more traumatic or if it's more negative, that initial emotion isn't necessarily mm-hmm. going to be joy. It could be something else.
When I was at the University of Texas, I was involved in some studies of parental infant parent interaction, and how children seem to prefer the mother's face to everybody else's face. And we didn't know that they could do that. We didn't mm-hmm. know they had the vision for it. And they kept the person in charge of the research. Kept getting younger and younger children. And when I was there, I was on a dissertation committee where one of her students was in the delivery room, and she was looking at mm-hmm. parent-child interaction wow. in the delivery room.
That's awesome.
That's how far back they went.
Yeah.
And when I saw that scene, it reminded me of her dissertation study.
Right.
Because they were actually in the delivery room monitoring, looking, evaluating that. Is it something that about the mother's face
mm-hmm.
that the baby bonds to? But it's bonding and attachment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so again, what this tells us and sort of really emphasizes without ever saying the words is the importance of that, you know, those very early experiences. Because again, you know, that first emotion ended up being joy.
That's right.
Because that first experience, that first memory was a joyful experience.
Right.
And so, you know, you can imagine if it was a negative experience, that first emotion would have been something different.
And in Florida, we have a neonatologist, Tiffany Field, in Miami. And she was one of the first to recognize that children who have a traumatic birth mm-hmm. and they're whisked mm-hmm. out of the delivery room right into the NICU. And she was the first one to do infant massage.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have women come in and touch these babies. And because they didn't have that initial experience.
Right.
So
yeah, it's really important stuff.
When she, those eyes, those expressive eyes where you can see, I mean, mm-hmm. you can just, you know that it was a pleasurable experience.
Right, Mm-hmm. Other things that sort of the overall psychological principles that you get in this is that the subconscious, fantastic. The long-term memory storage, those big columns of memories that are just stored away.
Right.
And how funny was it that the workers in long-term memory, every once in a while, they would send up to headquarters that jingle.
Right.
And they're like, no, not that again. And because those kinds of things happen to mm-hmm. us. That song, or that jingle or that right. memory jumps into us, and we think we get so frustrated. Why am I even thinking that?
And I, as I'm watching this, you mentioned long-term memory, and they call them core memories. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, what do people think? Like my 18-year-old daughter was in mm-hmm. the room, and she loved the movie. And yeah. as soon as she saw it, she said, "Oh, I love that movie."
Yeah.
She saw it a couple of years ago. And I thought, I wonder what cognitive experience mm-hmm. she went through as she watched it compared right. to the one we went through,
right.
you know, with our background.
Right.
We get it all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wondered what is the appeal
right.
to her, because she actually loved the movie,
yeah.
but at what level?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So let's kind of go in and pull out some really important things, because this week we've been talking about emotions.
And, oh, that's right. That's why we are discussing this movie.
Right.
Because this week, sorry.
Not forgot. For just the fun stuff.
I forgot.
But yeah. to really
this
talk about
emotion
emotions.
This was Emotion Week.
Right. So we have the core set of emotions that are represented in the film. And mm-hmm. those emotions include joy, and she seems to be sort of the main character, sadness, fear, anger, and disgust. Now, I know that there are some who say that, well, of course, we have many, many more emotions than that. And some argue that things like disgust mm-hmm. isn't necessarily a primary emotion. But I think what we're getting at with disgust is that ability to express displeasure with something mm-hmm. without it being anger or fear.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different from fear.
Right.
Right. Different from anger.
Right. Mm-hmm. The broccoli scene was fantastic. So, but you know, it starts with this montage of sort of figuring out who Riley is. Riley is the girl who yeah. is sort of the main character that houses the emotions that we get to know. And it starts with this montage. We know that she likes hockey. We know that she's really close with her family. We know that they're goofy and silly. And mm-hmm. she has these islands of personality, basically. Right. And then the family moves. And that's where sort of the story really begins.
With the move. Right.
And you can see how, you know, the emotion joy is really working hard to get Riley lifted up, to
right.
keep her spirits up. You know, you can see that she, you know, she, her parents are stressed about some things, and mm-hmm. she kind of comes in with the hockey stick, and she starts right. playing against her dad and stuff like that, all laughing and everything. But the first real thing that I think happens that deserves some attention is at that scene when they're playing hockey with the sock, I think, and mom's playing goalie with the pillow, and mm-hmm. The goal is the fireplace. Dad gets a phone call, and he has to go to work.
Right.
Riley is taken aback by that.
Right.
And her emotions start saying, wait, what's going on? Why is Dad leaving? Sadness says, Dad's leaving. He doesn't love us anymore.
Right.
And I think...
The
character
sadness.
The little
blue girl. Right. Mm-hmm.
What's really important about that we just need to think about is that, especially for a 12-year-old...
Right.
Those well, are...
How old was she at that point?
I think she was 11 or 12. What's really fantastic about that is that those are immediate thoughts, impulsive thoughts right. that we have sometimes.
Right, but she was younger when that happened, wasn't she?
I don't think so.
Before they moved?
No, that happened after the move. They were in the new house.
Oh, in the new house.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Right.
And so she says, Dad doesn't love us anymore. And right. and those are immediate thoughts
right.
that people have sometimes. Mm-hmm. Those are, and what the difference is that some people, you know, when if we think about it as sort of the primary emotion is sadness, mm-hmm. that's the thought that stays.
Right.
For Riley, the primary emotion was joy, and so mm-hmm. joy kind of took over and said, no, it's going to be great. We're right. going to, you know, and we start pulling out these different memories of, I saw a pizza place.
but what I liked about this movie, because we talked to kids and parents about this, is that you have all the emotion. Each emotion is represented by a character, mm-hmm. and they're always present.
Right.
Okay?
Always.
They're all vying for dominance.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, each one wants to right. dominate. But they're always present. And here's joy.
Working hard.
working feverishly to keep this thing afloat.
Yeah.
While all these others And they're not vying for it aggressively. They're just always there, and they're right. always able to exercise.
Right.
They're make their presence known.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Amy Poehler was the perfect voice
right.
for Joy, because she can just really express that, you know, she's trying to make everything sound like so much fun. And here's what you're going to do. You need to keep all of that sadness inside this circle. And it's like, you're doing a great job.
I'm gonna do that.
but you're right. Those thoughts are always there. They're always present.
Right.
You know, when you make a phone call to someone and they don't answer, right. there's that little hint in the back of your head that, what if something is wrong?
Right.
Or what if they're ignoring you? Or what if, you know, this or what if that? And those are sort of, if we want to call it emotions, like what right. we see in this film, these are different emotions, just, hey, saying, hey, this could be a possibility, this could be a possibility, and we latch on to one of them.
And we always say, same event, different emotional reaction.
Yes, you yes.
And, it's not the event.
Right.
It's which emotion is going to dominate.
Right.
Predominate.
Exactly. And that kind of guides us into sort of the next big point that we mm-hmm. see throughout this entire film. Is that you can look at the same exact
right.
situation, mm-hmm. the same exact experience, and look at it from different points of view.
And that's the first thing that struck me about this was that point.
Right.
Is that an event would occur, something would happen mm-hmm. in the house.
Right.
And then you go back to the control right. room mm-hmm. and all of them are responding each in a unique way.
Right.
You know, which one's going to be in charge this time?
Yeah, yeah.
Every once in a while, anger gets to go to the control.
Can I use that one bad word I know?
Right. Right. Every once in a while, anger gets there. You
it's
know?
A really good one.
And you can see it build. Mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. So, no, it's such an accurate portrayal
right,
of
right.
what happens
right.
in your head.
Exactly. Jeez. Exactly. So when we think about this... Though, because I know that we do this a lot with our patients and in working with the individuals and families that we work with, is sometimes we have to restructure some of these experiences and some of these things that memories that we have. You have to right. reframe it, restructure it, because we oftentimes apply an emotion to an experience, and we hold on to that. Emotion as part of that experience, and there are many times when you can shift if you're able to shift that perspective a little bit, it does really change the meaning of those experiences.
And Joy is the one who demonstrated that. She was the one who kept putting a different slant on things.
Well, she worked really hard to do that, right?
Right, and that's what we should be doing. Yeah, because Joy had to work really hard
right.
to keep anger at bay, to keep sadness at bay.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we saw that, you know, the memories in the film, the memories are depicted by these orbs. And the orbs glow the color different of color. The emotion right. that it represents. And so gold was sort of joy, and then mm-hmm. green was disgust and things like that.
Good old blue.
Yes.
Kept rolling out.
But wasn't it cool the way that they demonstrated that you could take a joyful memory, and if sadness touched it, mm-hmm. it turned blue.
It would start to turn blue.
And so she starts seeing, again, these same experiences, right. but instead of seeing them as joyful and happy, mm-hmm. you can see sort of the sad side of it.
Right. Right.
And that is, again, that is a lot of what we do in therapy, in working with people, especially people with depression and right. with anxiety. So if we get into mm-hmm. fear, the purple guy.
Right.
He was purple, right? Yeah. So it's... it's the idea that you can shift and adjust your perspectives a little mm-hmm. bit, apply a different emotion
right.
to it, and it really changes the meaning of the experience altogether.
Right, right. I don't know who put this together,
right.
but I don't think I would have changed anything
right.
about this movie.
Yeah.
I think they got where we're spot on from beginning to end.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. They did a really good job with that, and when. Now, we see something, there's another part of this that I think we see very, very often mm-hmm. in people. And, you know, the idea that, wait, how do I want to say that? Throughout the film, the primary mission from the emotional standpoint was for Joy to stay in control.
In control.
The goal was to always be happy.
Right, because Riley's basic temperament, if right. we go back to the beginning,
right.
her basic temperament was she was a joyful person. She right. was basically a happy person.
Right.
Okay. So throughout these 12 years, mm-hmm. Joy worked feverishly mm-hmm. to maintain that component right. of her temperament.
She was the only one allowed to use the control panel.
Right.
For the most part, mm-hmm. she had to keep sadness in control, kept her in the circle.
She had to keep everybody else at
right.
bay.
Yeah. And so what we see is this exerted effort to maintain happiness right. at all costs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to be sad. We don't want to be angry. We don't right. want to be anything else except happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that can work for a period of time.
Right.
But we are much more complex than just happy, just joy.
Right.
You know, we have mm-hmm. to experience these other emotions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think as the film progressed, we started to see some of that. We started to see how the other emotions are critical.
As she gets older, because mm-hmm. we have this wonderful, excuse me, when she's younger, you know, mm-hmm. Preschool, early school age, everything's happy, she's with her parents, blah, blah. She goes through what Freud called the latency age,
right.
you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, everything's great. But as she matures, it all becomes a little more complicated.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that's wonderful to see that developmental mm-hmm. Shift
right.
that occurs around age 11 or 12.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And you're right. The thing becomes, the whole thing becomes a little more complex.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. So when you're thinking about child development in general, you know, we have, of course, core memories. We have, you know, this history of experiences that we've had. Mm-hmm. And many times we will see kids sort of appear to be pretty consistent over those years.
Right, right.
And then as you said, as we get into that pre-adolescent,
yeah,
especially
tweener.
If something significant happens, like in the yeah, film, right. we have this big move.
The move, really.
Mm-hmm. Right. But mm-hmm. if we have some big changes in life, if we have some big adjustments, whether it's a mm-hmm. family divorce, a death in the family, a big move, a change in schools, anything right. like that, even sometimes just a friend moving away,
right.
or some of those things happening to somebody that you know, it can begin to really shake those foundations.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take much.
It doesn't take much. And I think that's the other thing. Remember that scene where she's frantically trying to hold all the orbs together?
Right.
And she had to get that last one. You know,
right.
there was one little piece missing,
right.
which could have upset everything.
Right.
And that's what we see with kids, mm-hmm. is that you have one, like, we talk about abuse and neglect. We didn't realize until recently what a profound effect even neglect can have mm-hmm. on children.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, absolutely. It changes those. In the film, the islands, the
right.
the bases of who you are.
That's right.
And begins to shift.
Those islands were wonderful. You know, mm-hmm. there they were out there in the distance, perfect explanations of who mm-hmm. this kid was.
Yeah.
And once they explained to you, mm-hmm. the characters explained to you what each island was, and you say, perfect
right.
depiction.
Right. Yeah. And you can see all of those aspects of her personality.
This is my family. I thought of Yuri Bronfenbrenner.
Yeah.
They had those concentric
That's
circles.
Right.
And I said, okay, here's the microcosm. Here's the mesocosm. Here's yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah. yeah. It was great. And so as kids develop, you know, one of the main complaints or observations that we hear from parents is that during this latency mm-hmm. phase between mm-hmm. childhood and adolescence, we begin to see the significant shift
right.
in who our kids are. They,
right.
they sometimes change in their personality. I'll use quotes for mm-hmm. personality. They change in how they behave. They change in what their expression of emotions.
Right.
All of that stuff begins to shift and adjust. And it's not... And that's a normal part of development.
That's right.
You know, it could be because something significant happens and that... Something significant could guide it in one direction or another.
Right.
But this change happens.
Right. It's going to happen
mm-hmm.
no matter what. I mean,
right.
same city, same house, same everything. You're still going to get a change.
Right.
As you transition into
right.
adulthood.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been meaning to ask you this because I've been seeing this more and more, especially with some of the boys I work with. As they're going, getting into that latency phase and into adolescence, I get a lot of those boys coming in admitting that they have anger problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really have anger problems. They get angry, they get frustrated, but it's different than how they were before. So they're trying to make sense of it as well. They recognize that, man, I'm getting angry pretty easily.
They mean anger.
They mean anger.
Okay.
Because they get frustrated.
Reactive anger.
It's reactive, mm-hmm. right? And so they say they have anger control problems, that mm-hmm. they have, you know, anger management problems, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. But as you get into it, what you're finding out is that, you know, it's not that they really have anger problems. It's that they're figuring out who they are. You know, right. we saw it with Riley, you know, when she's sitting at the table after yes. that first, you know, bad day of school. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of, you know, anger takes control and he, you know, yells at the parents. That happens, and it's not right. necessarily an anger control problem. It's not necessarily an anger management problem. It's a what emotion is in control here?
Right.
We're
right.
trying to figure that out.
Right. And not only when I was watching that scene, and we've all, if you're a parent, you've seen that scene
mm-hmm.
in up close and personal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
As I was watching it, I was thinking, that's not Riley.
Right.
That's anger. That's mm-hmm. this little sliver of an emotion. Mm-hmm. And you can see Dad getting angry when it's not Riley,
mm-hmm.
it's anger
right.
talking.
Right.
Okay. And you, and in the moment, you have to, if you're a parent, you have to remember that. This
right.
is not your daughter. This is anger in the background.
That's great, because you can see that's, there's so many really important things that happen in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to kind of set it up briefly, Riley comes home from the first day of school, which was horrible.
Horrible first day.
You know, she cries at school. Yeah. She, and all because, you know, Joy isn't there
right.
To help out. And so she has a bad day at school. She's home. She's eating dinner with her family. And, you know, mom's trying to talk to her. And she's, you know, fear says some things. Disgust says some things. Anger says some things.
Because all the emotions are always there.
Right.
You know, they're all participating.
And the mom, like, tries to cue the dad. And we go into dad's dad's emotions.
Right.
And he's like, he's thinking about a hockey match or
right.
something
right.
and they're like, oh my gosh, she's looking at us
right.
what did we leave the toilet seat up again? And so they're trying to figure out what's going on, and then
right.
so they're sort of caught off guard. Dad's mm-hmm. kind of caught off guard.
Dad is,
and
yeah.
gets involved a little bit late, and instead of catching up or instead of trying to mm-hmm. listen and figure out what's going on, he just kind of goes right into some disciplinary approaches.
He simply reacts
right.
to that surface behavior.
Right.
And all of us are saying, Dan, it's not her. You know,
right.
don't do what I think you're going to do. I yeah. think I know what you're going to do now.
The emotions okay? are like, get ready for the, put the foot down.
That's right.
Foot is prepared.
Foot is prepared.
Yeah.
No, and you know Dad's going to do that, and you feel so sorry for Riley.
Right.
Because you know, you know that anger is operating mm-hmm. in the background, and she's not in control. Anger's in
right.
control. So
right.
please, don't punish Riley. It's not her
right.
fault.
Yeah. Right. And did you see, again, it's these subtle things that are so important. he said, that's it. Go to your room. The surprise on Riley's face.
Right.
You can tell she's never heard that before.
Right.
And mm-hmm. this, because it's, that's just not who she is.
Nope.
Kind of going with what you're saying. She's never heard that before. And you know, it's surprising but not unusual
mm-hmm.
that Dad immediately begins to employ something that he's never employed before.
Never pulled that lever.
He's
before.
Never had to do that before.
Never.
And
the foot is down.
and it's sort of innate. And then Dad kind of says, well, we handled that pretty good. And Mom's like, that was horrible. You know, the emotions
right.
inside her head. So, you know,
Dad.
Again, the point is that we have to be careful, especially when we're thinking about these kinds of emotions in our kids, and especially during this stage of development,
mm-hmm.
but really all stages.
All stages,
because
right.
2-year-olds, you know, we
same
get
thing.
The same thing.
Yeah.
We have to remember that these are their emotions that are reacting to things. It's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the core of who your child is.
Right.
And so you don't want to respond in a way that's going to exacerbate issues
right.
with those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a kid responds in an angry way, it's better to understand why they're getting angry than it is to make them more angry by punishing them, and because when they don't when they don't even understand what's happening anyways.
That's right.
Like, Riley did not understand what was happening to her at that time.
No, she was way over her head.
Right.
You know,
right.
Emotionally. But, you know, the wonderful thing about this scene is it's not her, it's not Riley.
Right.
And, okay, she's not in control right now, but none of us are always in control of our emotions. I mean, even adult, we, all of us, there are times when we don't control our emotions and they overtake us, okay? And that's all that's happening here.
Right.
It's just that in a preteen and teenager, it happens more frequently and with more intensity.
Right.
But it's a difference of degree, not a difference of kind.
Right, right. So all of that stuff is typical developmental stages.
Right.
We see those tendencies in almost every child as they're, you know, going through from birth through through adolescence and sometimes even into early adulthood. We see those same changes. We also know that those core memories change.
Mm-hmm.
We know that those core aspects of personality change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the film kind of really did a good job of demonstrating that certain aspects. Remember when, right after that scene at the kitchen table, Riley's up in her room crying.
Right.
Dad comes in, and Dad tries to sort of elicit the goofy island,
right?
And Dad starts doing the monkey sounds and playing with her that way, and she's having none of it,
right?
And Goofy Island crumbles inside her consciousness, and so she is not goofy anymore.
Right?
She is not fun. She's not playful anymore. And we don't see that again. We don't see that side of her again until the end.
Until the very end. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so those experiences, those traumas.
Probably the right word.
Yeah.
Change who we are.
It changes.
And can do it very quickly. It can be subtle things. It can be little things. It doesn't have to be anything massive.
And I think that's the primary thing about this. As I said before, we're sitting there thinking, don't do it, Dad. Don't overreact. When he does, they go through, and then that island crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And you think to yourself, see what you've done?
Right.
See what you did? You destroyed an integral part of this child's person.
Right.
And that island crumbling was so, to me, it was so sad.
Because
you could see the loss, they've been doing this thing for 12 years, and suddenly it's gone.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That was sad.
But
that's what we do. That's what parents do. We destroy the island.
And especially when, again, it doesn't have to be anything massive. It doesn't have to be like a physical abuse.
One overreaction.
It could be, it's a culmination sometimes of little things.
That's right.
The really bad experience at school that day. The interactions with some of the other students and stuff. And then that situation with Dad. And, you know.
And where else do we see this accumulation of hurt that results in tragedy?
Well, you see it all over the place.
And we see it later tonight. We're going to...
Right.
Because we see the same thing in 13 Reasons.
Where we're
it's not a single event. It's the accumulation of little hurts that build.
Right.
That's what we see here, too.
Right. And we too often... We're recording this on Thursday morning, and it's going to go out on Friday, the 16th. Tonight, the 15th. So if you're listening to this, you're late, but it's okay.
I'm lost.
No, it's in my mind.
Okay. Well, then it's all safe.
All right. Anger's,
it's in your mind.
That's right. your point is perfect.
I would
perfect.
Love for a cartoonist to get a hold of your mind and draw those characters. And I'd like to see the relative sizes and speed of each one.
It'd be good stuff.
It'd be good stuff.
It'd be good stuff.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but boy, it's
racketing
around. It'd
be a 15-minute movie.
It's a racketing around up there. Can I have a sip of my coffee?
You sure?
Is that legal?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
But some of the criticisms of 13 Reasons Why is that if you, many of the things that we've talked about so far, now the things that we're going to talk about tonight changes some of it, but many of the things that we've talked about so far are just little things.
They are.
You know, somebody sends a picture. Somebody says something. Somebody does this. Somebody does that. It's like, and I think that the criticism that a lot of people have of that program and of that character in general is that That's no different than any of us have ever experienced.
We've all experienced it.
And to some extent, that's true.
Even the counselor said, you know, we've all experienced it.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when you start, we've all had an experience like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have had experiences like that. And a lot of people, this kind of experience and that kind of experience. But when one person has all of those experiences,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
in combination with some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight, all of a sudden, it's a much more challenging, much more impactful right. Experience.
The metaphor I use is a glacier.
Right.
You know, eventually it gets heavy enough that it begins to slide.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No single snowflake does it.
Right.
It's the accumulation of snowflakes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this happens. It happens to it can mm-hmm. happen to all of us.
Right.
And really, it can happen to all of us at any time, even as right. adults.
Absolutely.
We can have experiences that change mm-hmm. who we are.
Right.
In really important ways.
And that's what we see with Riley.
Right.
That as she becomes more aware of the world around her, mm-hmm. as it gets larger. As your world gets larger, there are more pressure points. There are more things affecting you.
Yeah,
more people and more events. Right. And we see that increasing as she is a preteen.
Right, mm-hmm. right. So it's important that parents know. It's important, mm-hmm. to some extent, it's important that the kids know. And I think that's
right.
something that,
that's
one
right.
of the reasons why kids were really drawn to this film is because it is a visual depiction of what they experience.
Of what they're experiencing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because it is a very real phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And so they can relate to Riley. They can relate right. to what's happening with those characters. So the last thing that really we want to mention is the importance of the interplay between the different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Happiness is really only yeah. happiness because we know what sadness is.
Right. And we talked about this many times mm-hmm. in our practice.
We have.
You and I have discussed it. Mm-hmm. We've discussed it in podcasts. But when sadness touches that golden orb mm-hmm. and starts, you say, that's what we've been talking about all these
right.
years. You know.
Yeah. yeah.
So when it's depicted that way,
right.
it's so clear.
Well, there's this one part where Joy is trying to cheer sadness up, and she says, "Remember that day that all of our teammates came over and we were right. we had pizza and it was mm-hmm. a party and everything," and sadness goes, "Yeah, that was the day that we lost the big game and right. Riley missed the winning shot,"
mm-hmm.
and Joy is like, "That's not really what I was thinking about,"
right?
But as the film goes near the end, Joy looks at that the video, that memory,
mm-hmm. the memory.
And she sees that sadness was there because Riley was sitting in the tree
right.
sad because she missed the winning what could would have been the winning shot
right.
Sadness is there, and because sadness is there, her parents came out mm-hmm. and spent time sat in the tree with her
right.
and then because sadness was there, her parents got her team together
right.
and then her team came over and then they had this really great time
mm-hmm.
Had sadness not been there
right.
none of that would have happened
right.
And so we have to have this interplay between different emotions. And so when we talked about this before, we talked about how people oftentimes have sort of like this mission, this driving right. goal to never be sad.
That's right. Well, you shouldn't be sad. You don't need to be sad.
Right. You need to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you mm-hmm. need to experience this wide array. I mean, that's why we have these emotions to begin with.
That's right. Kids have to own all, they are entitled to all the emotions.
Right.
You know, when you think about these fat little characters running around in mm-hmm. the control room, kids have a right to all of their emotions.
Right.
It's our job to educate them about those emotions.
Right. Right.
And to keep them under control.
Right.
Here's how you manage this stuff.
Right.
Not that you shouldn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you manage them.
Right. And the film depicts this very well near the end when we get mm-hmm. the new control panel that has an area for all five of them.
That's right.
And Anger says, "I have access to the full array of bad words. That was great.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what happens as you reach adolescence. Your vocabulary grows,
especially when you go off to college.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And the button for puberty.
Puberty.
Oh, that's probably nothing important," she says.
That's great.
But you we see this importance really depicted well there. And they, again, kind of going with what you said, the fantastic job that the filmmakers did of creating a scene mm-hmm. where you can see how important all the different emotions are all right. at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because she's near the end, she's playing hockey. And she goes out there and Joy has her out there because she's really, really right. liking it. And mm-hmm. disgust is like, oh, look at those guys. And then anger says, you're not going to get that puck from me. And so they're all sort of playing.
They're all there.
All working together.
That's right.
To make her, you know, to mm-hmm. to help her play hockey. Right.
And even anger can be useful.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to remember, yeah. that all of these emotions can be useful or damaging.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. It's when... Mm-hmm. any one of them, whether that's it's right. whether it's anger or joy,
that's right.
Any one of them that takes complete control can create problems.
Right. Because as you say, if it wasn't for sadness, this whole scene wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And that's what we have to remember, that you need all of these emotions.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So it's a fantastic film. And, you know, we only pulled out a handful of things.
And this was a constant stream of just a wonderful depiction of what it's like in the mind of a child
right.
developing over time. It's just so well done.
And how sad was it when Bing Bong, the imaginary friend, he stayed like, in the forgotten memories. Mm-hmm.
And again, sad played an important role in that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but that was sad to leave Bing Bong.
Yeah. So, if you haven't seen it yet, watch it. It's it's fantastic.
Yeah. And whoever did it, thank you. Whoever developed this, whoever produced, directed,
yeah,
thank you. Yeah. It's an amazing contribution to the field.
Yeah. So, we would love to hear from you what you thought about it. If you have any other. Nuggets that you pull from it that were really meaningful to you, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd write to us either on YouTube or
if you just want to talk about it,
yeah,
come on and we'll talk about it.
Exactly, you know, we'd love to.
We could talk about this movie for forever.
Yeah, and if you have a particular movie that you'd like for us to talk about, mm-hmm. let us know.
Right.
There's a few more that we're talking about doing. I really like this idea of you know pulling some of these important things from movies mm-hmm. because just about every movie, I mean. Whether you haven't seen Wonder Woman yet, but whether it's Wonder Woman or Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Is that coming out?
Oh, gosh. It's been out for like ever.
Have I seen it?
No. No, you didn't go
with
us.
Which one did I go with you to?
That was like 2 years ago.
No.
So. It wasn't. But there's another film out. We're putting together a summer movie mm-hmm. list. But there's this other one called The Ninth Life of... Louis Drax. That's a really interesting movie. Has a lot of psychological principles
in
to it.
In theaters?
No, it's out on video now. So, but there's all kinds of movies that we could talk about that are just great that have, because all of them have psychological principles in it that can be used and discussed. So, if you have a movie that you'd like for us to talk about, send it to us and send me a link or send me the list and let me know.
I'm glad that every once in a while I mention things that you have no clue what I'm talking about.
Like what?
Some political figure.
Oh,
and you say,
yeah.
I've never heard of that person. Yeah. Because when you mention movies like the name you just mentioned, uh-huh. I've not heard of it. I've not seen it. I have no knowledge of what
I found it by accident. I found that one.
Found it where?
Online.
Online. Where would you go? Where would you have to go to get to...
iTunes.
That's why.
There you go.
I don't do iTunes. Well, I do for our stuff, but
even though
I've asked my daughters to hook me up with iTunes this summer. I said, "Girls, I need a what do you call it? Music list, tune list. What do you call it? A list of songs.
I don't know.
What do you call it?
Playlist.
Playlist. I said I need a playlist this summer, and they haven't done much.
There's one of my emotions that are
predominant right now.
Right.
It's taking over. Okay.
I'm not sure if it's disgust or anger, one of those two.
Okay.
So, all right, but definitely write to us if you have one that you'd like for us to talk about, because it's fantastic. So, all right, so that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.